Parenting is not just something that we have been left to ourselves to figure out. We have been given admonitions and instructions by the Lord on how we can raise up this generation of children so that they can be not just a blessing to Him, but to humanity. And that's something that is missing in this generation. You know, with some of the situations that we have been seeing in our national headlines, you know, with a lot of the disturbances and the social unrest, I ask myself, how much of that has to do with a failure on our part as parents to instruct our children in righteousness? Yes, there are some just causes, you know, where a right to petition government for our concerns or redress. That is a constitutional right that every citizen has a duty and obligation to fulfill and to perform. But I'm not talking about that aspect. I'm not talking about the peaceful protests and the peaceful demonstrations and the peaceful marches. There has been other activities, extracurricular activities, that many of the young people have been engaging in. And I wonder how much of that has to do with parenting. We have a duty, not just to God. We have a duty to our fellow citizens and to those, and to our neighbors, and to our communities, to raise children in the admonition of the Lord. We're going to look at just a couple of scriptures, but before we open God's Word, let us ask God's blessing upon our nation, upon our families, and upon our fathers, as they have a duty to not just instruct kids, their children, but by their example. You know, this whole thing about, you know, do what I say and don't do what I do, that doesn't work. That doesn't make the grade, because kids and young people do look to you and they do watch you. And I do believe that we should all just keep our eyes on Christ, you know. Don't look to me, look to Jesus. I believe in that. But friends and brothers and sisters, the young people are watching you. And they are looking to you. And kids, you know, which parent could not attest to this reality, that the young kids are going to do exactly what they see mom and dad doing. We have a 2-year-old. She's going to be 2 this year. And she wants to do everything that mom and dad does. So they are watching us. They are looking to our example. And what do they see? Do they see a clear indication and a clear signal as to how they ought to conduct their lives? Or are they getting mixed signals? Are they getting a signal that shows that you can take shortcuts in life? You know, you can. Little white lies are not a big issue, but those little white lies eventually begin to grow and grow. So my brothers and sisters, before we open God's Word, let us ask the Lord's blessing upon our communities. Oh, Lord, we lift up our nation. We lift up our homes. We lift up our fathers today, because fathers are the pillars of our families. They have been given a duly biblical responsibility to protect, to instruct, and to produce families and children that are to be for your glory and for your honor. And all of our institutions, they fall and they rise based upon our homes, because our churches are made up of families. Our society is made up of families. And when the family's destroyed, civilization collapsed. And we're seeing that, Lord. And it's what we're seeing is not because of you and a failure on your part, Lord. It's our failure. So forgive us, Lord, in the times that we have failed you to honor you. Forgive us, but at the same time, Lord, help us, encourage us, and show us the way that we can not just see our kids successful, productive citizens of our communities, but may we see them saved in your kingdom. That is our prayer, and that is our desire. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's some scripture given to us from God's Word. Brothers and sisters and friends, do we treasure the advice that God gives to us? You know, I think that we fail sometimes to see the magnitude of benefits that we have because of God's word. You think of Babylon and ancient Egypt and Rome, these bygone civilizations that collapsed morally. They were bankrupt with truth and justice. You know, how about the word of God that instructs us on all these things? Oh, brothers and sisters, the tremendous advantage that we have as believers to know that we have God's word available to us and has been given to us at such a great sacrifice. We don't realize the struggle that our ancient forefathers, the Christians, the martyrs, went through just to give us access to the word of God. And what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? You know, most people today don't outrightly say, I don't believe in anything. But brothers and sisters, it's not those who openly reject the scriptures that are on dangerous ground. They are on dangerous ground. But it's those who disregard its truths, those who profess to believe it, who say they do, but then they completely disregard the sacred teachings and principles that are found within its pages. Oh, yes, my brothers, we have a tremendous source of truth. And it's not what we today define as a natural truth or something that is just common to everyone that we can all sense and see, like they call natural law. It's something that's observable in nature that is obvious to all men. No, friends, it's not that. It's called divine revelation. It's divine truth. It's something that has been revealed to us by a higher authority, somebody who truly is just and fair and compassionate and loving. We have divine revelation. And divine revelation, brothers and sisters, supersedes natural law because, you know, if we had men who were fair and compassionate and just, then we can all discern the same thing. But we live in an age of such great lawlessness, such partisan division. We can't even observe something in nature and come to the same conclusion. We cannot even read the same text. We can't read the Constitution and read the same words and come up with the same conclusion. And sometimes what the Bible says, listen, this is not Brother Andy who is saying this. Sometimes the Bible says that our perspectives can be maligned. Our conscience can be corrupted. You know, our perspective can have a type of favor or prejudice. And our worldview determines how we want to see and how we want to read those texts. So that's why natural law is not always the surest form or guide to instruct us, but divine revelation, my brothers and sisters. Jesus says that his words are life and they are truth. His words give us spiritual life, and his words are a type of truth that withstands every culture and every time and every context. He says, this world shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So what has God given to us as fathers? What instruction has he given to us so that our homes can be a foundation for society, a solid pillar, a solid rock to help us build upon? What has God's word commanded us? Well, we see in the book of Genesis, we see in Genesis 37, verse 4, we're told that part of the duties of fathers is to love their children. Love them. Cherish them. Enjoy them. They are, as the Bible says, they are a gift from God. Our children are a gift. In fact, it's a gift that really is only to be on loan or borrowed. Our children have been given to us by God, but they truly belong to him. And they're borrowed so that we can have them to bless our lives, so that we can train them and instruct them. But then at the end, It is God's divine will for us to give them back to Him. We are instructed to love them, to love them. And that love isn't just it's not just limited to an emotion. Oh, brothers, no, love is based on a principle. Love is based upon responsibility and respect. And yes, it does include emotion. You know, there are moments of emotion, but it can't just be reduced to emotionalism. It has to be based on principles of love, respect, responsibility. You know, the Bible says, how can you tell a poor man or a hungry man, well, God bless you and, you know, go feed yourself? No, friends. If we have an opportunity to be a blessing to others, God expects us to help provide for them. So to love them is to provide, to protect, to nourish. That's the love. Remember, Jesus says, I have commanded you to love others even as I have loved you. That's the model. That's the standard. We are to love our children the way God has loved us. And how has God loved us? How has God demonstrated His love for each one of us? Oh, friends, we can start first by saying He sent Jesus to save us. But then even before that, He provided a home, right, for Adam and Eve. We could see that when God formed man, He took upon Him man as a responsibility. And what did God do to that man? What did God do to Adam? He placed him in a garden. And what was the garden? Oh, it was a paradise. It was a home. When God took upon man that responsibility, He provided a home to him. That's important. That's God's love. And when we as fathers want to demonstrate that kind of a godly love, we too will provide for our children. God not only gave Adam a home, He gave him a job, just one job. Oh, no, He gave him more than one job. He gave him four different jobs, but He gave Adam specifically two jobs. One, to tend the garden. He was supposed to tend it and take care of the garden. The garden was his home, and it was his responsibility to tend to it, to maintain it, to preserve it, to keep it up. And then He also gave him the responsibility of naming all the animals. Remember, God brought the animals to the man. And then He said, Adam, you give them the names. I created them because you can't create them, but you can collaborate with me. We can work together and you can give them the name. So that's another job. That's another job. And then also you can read in the book of Genesis where He told Adam and Eve to populate the earth, fill the earth. Whose job was it to populate the earth? It was Adam's responsibility. And then He also says, and you shall have dominion over all of nature. You shall rule over the fish, over the beast, over all the creeping things. So He was a manager. He was given four different jobs. He was given two jobs, and then He was given a woman. God gave Adam a home, then He gave him two jobs, and then He gave him a woman. Is that, you think that's important? You think that order is important for our homes? You know, half of the problems of why our homes are in trouble or broken, let's just speak plainly. Part of the reason, 50% of the reason why our homes are broken is because of finances. The stress of not being able to provide. And God gave Adam a home, so he had a house, and then He gave him two jobs, and then He gave him the wife and the woman. Brothers, I think there's some value to that. But you know, you look at this generation, we have all that reversed. And I'm not picking on anybody. You know, I'm speaking in general. But many times, you know, for whatever reason, and I there's various reasons why that order isn't followed today. Many times, you know, the kids get married and they're still living with mom and dad. And that does that create conflict? Does that create situations that bring discomfort? You can answer that question. When God said to Adam, this is your woman, this is your wife, and Adam says, now shall a man leave father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, the two shall be one flesh. Is there wisdom in that kind of counsel? Yes, there is. And the closer we do things to the way God has ordained, the happier humanity and society will be. And the further away we move away from God's divine design, the more conflicts, the more problems, the more agitations, and the more stress we will find ourselves in. So God demonstrated his love, okay, by sending Jesus, but by providing for man before he took upon himself that responsibility. So love, God has commanded that the duties of fathers to their children is to love them. And that word love, if we were to study and make a word analysis from God's word, means much more than just have an emotional feeling for someone else. It means to provide. It means to protect. And it also means to instruct. And instructions, my brothers and sisters, and this is a tough one, is not just the words that come out of my lips. To instruct someone is to show them, to demonstrate with your life, with your character, with your actions, how our children ought to behave. We have to show it to them, because kids are not, I want to use the right word. Kids are not dumb. Let's just put it that way. They can see right through us. Kids are actually, for the glory of God, they don't have filters, and they'll tell you the truth straight up. They catch a parent, trying to pull a fast one. First thing they say, liar, liar, pants on fire. They can see right through us. They don't follow the political correctness, and the diplomacy that we as adults have become masters of. They don't follow any of those things. They say the truth just as they see it. And brothers and sisters, we cannot just with our lips instruct them and tell them, here's what you ought to do, and then we ourselves are doing something different. No, brothers and sisters, part of the instruction is to show, to testify with our life to the truths that we hold forth. And I can't help but think, what is happening in our homes? What is happening in our nation? What is happening in our society? It all begins and it all starts first in the home. What are our children being educated with? What is the guiding influence that is directing their decision making? Is it the study of God's word? Is it the family altar in the home with prayer and Bible study and singing? Or is it the video games? Is it the violent movies? Is it the music that glorifies iniquity, violence? Is that the prevailing emphasis in the homes? The Bible says what we behold, as we behold, we are changed into that image. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. By beholding and by thinking, we are transformed and changed into that image and into that likeness. That is why when we behold Christ, when we behold his love, when we behold his sacrifice, when we see him on the cross, and we begin to reflect and think and to meditate upon that true love, our lives are changed. Something happens. Something happens. It's a miracle that's worked out by the God of heaven. And our thoughts and our desires and our prejudices and our anger and our bitterness, it dissipates, because how can you have any of those things when you're at the foot of the cross, observing the great sacrifice that God has offered in behalf of the human race? How can you? How can you be bitter with your brother when you're at the foot of the cross, observing Jesus' sacrifice for you? You can't, my brothers and sisters. But if our young people are engaged in a training, it's like a training course these video games. It's like a training manual on how to become assassins. If they're doing this hour after hour after hour, what effect do you think that's going to have on their minds? You know, I can only imagine that what we have been seeing in some of the rioting and the looting and the killing, what do you expect to happen when you have young people who spend hours upon hours upon hours learning how to become assassins with these video games? And then the movies, Hollywood. Brothers and sisters, how much, you know, you want to talk about Netflix? How much programming on drugs and cartels and murder can you see in one day? How much? My brothers and sisters, there's a direct correlation to the things that we observe, that the things that we meditate upon, hours upon hours, and what we're seeing on the streets. And I cannot but imagine that with some of those things that are happening in the streets of America, are young people trying to reenact what they're doing in video games? I can't help but think that. And we are in a crisis. And it's a crisis that is not just something that we can blame other people for. Yes, there's plenty of blame to go around. Violent video games, violent television programs, music that glorifies all these things. But then it's a failure on our part from fathers, from the home, to regulate and to make sure that their home is a safe haven, a refuge from the world and from sin and from lawlessness. Yes, my brothers and sisters, that is God's design for our homes, to love our children, to command them, to instruct them, to guide our kids in the ways of truth and righteousness, to train them and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Let me read that to you from God's word. This is what is called the Shema in the Hebrew, the great truth upon which the covenant of God was based upon. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm starting in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel," that's the Shema, "the foundation upon the covenant relationship that God entered in with the nation of Israel." And what was it based upon? Listen to this. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And all these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Brothers and sisters, that's what the covenant was based upon that God ratified with the nation of Israel. Not just that there is one God, not just that you should keep my commandments, but that you shall instruct your children in all these ways at all times, when you're sitting, when you're sleeping, when you wake up, not violent video games and pornography and these violent drug-based movies, but the instructions that God has in his word. Would that transform our society if we could follow this principle? Yes, it would. Yes, it would. Would it transform our home? Would it transform the rebellion, that rebellious spirit that rears its head from time? Yes, it would, my brothers and sisters. But we have to realize that the crisis in our homes is not just Hollywood. They have a part. It's not just the music industry. They have a part. Yes, they do. It's not just Netflix. You know, you can't even find a Christian movie. It's hard to find one. But you cannot see to miss the endless glorification of the drug-fueled cartel life and violence. It's there. You can't miss it. Brother, the failure starts with our fathers who are neglecting to fulfill their God-given responsibility of making sure that the covenant upon which we are God's people is established in our homes. Oh, my brothers and sisters, God's ways are much better than man's ways. God has had a solution all along, and it was all found within the Word of God. You know, what has happened, my brothers and sisters? What has happened to the Word? What has happened to this sacred duty of training our children in the ways and instructing them in righteousness? See, it's not just providing. Yes, we must provide. It's not just nourishing them. Yes, we have to nourish them. It's not just providing a home and, you know, having nice bedding and nice furnishings and, you know, a nice bicycle or a nice vehicle. All those things are necessary. It's not just having great love for them. Yes, but part of our duty is to instruct them, to guide them, to instill upon them some kind of moral standard, some kind of ethic, some kind of restraint. And it's God's word, his moral law. Obviously, you know, the covenant that God entered with the children of Israel, yes, it was also based on a moral law. But brothers and sisters, that moral law was based on love. Love is the fulfilling of the law, as we read in I believe it's in the book of Romans, tells us. And that love, because man's heart is corrupt, because our human nature is deprived, you know, we think love is emotion. We think love is something that we fall into. But whatever we're falling into is not working. Love is found in a person, because God is love. And love is found in principles of justice, right and wrong, because love desires no ill for his neighbor. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, which is a fulfilling of God's law, you're not going to steal from him. You're not going to steal his wife. You're not going to steal his property. You're not going to lie about him, and you're not going to murder him, and you're going to keep the law, which is based upon the character of God, you know, justice, right and wrong. But the ultimate motive for that is based on love. So yes, as we love our children, we have to instill with them a system of values. What we call today the Judeo-Christian standard and ethics and values that have served our nation so well for so many years. But all that is going out the window. All that with the Supreme Court decision of last week. Oh, we don't even have time to talk about that. But with that decision that they made last week, they have redefined what, not just what God has established, but what we have understood to be the definition of sex. You know, in 1962, the Supreme Court declared war against prayer by removing it. In 1963, they declared war against the Bible by removing that. 73, they declared war against the unborn. In 2015, they declared war against marriage. 2017, the Supreme Court declared war against the families. And in 2020, just last week, they declared war against sex. Oh, brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us to stay faithful and to uphold the principles of truth and righteousness. And God bless you, all you fathers out there. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pilgrims will to glory go.